There are a number of biblical events in which numbers play a significant role. And one of those numbers that is seen from time to time is the number 40. Which biblical account might come to your mind at first hearing of the number 40? I would guess some of you perhaps are thinking of the flood, which we're told covered the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Someone perhaps might think of the 40 days and 40 nights spent by Moses on Mount Sinai in connection with the reception of God's law. There were also the 40 years that it took wayward Israel to travel from bondage in Egypt to the promised land. Later still were the 40 days and nights during which a tireless opponent of God and his people taunted and threatened. That, according to 1 Samuel 17, where we're told, "For 40 days the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself." That Philistine, of course, was the 9-foot-tall giant of Gath, Goliath, who mocked the God of heaven, ridiculed the armies of Israel, and called for an individual to meet him on the battlefield. One can understand why the Holy Spirit recorded the imposing stature of Goliath the man and of his weaponry. One can see the importance of the various quotes that are included in the narrative. But why did the Holy Spirit include this little detail that Goliath continued with his blasphemous challenges morning after morning and evening after evening for 40 days? It's difficult to say with certainty why that piece of information is included in the account. The Bible doesn't elaborate. But perhaps those 40 days are mentioned to illustrate some of the generalities that exist in the ongoing struggle between the people of God and the forces that oppose. Perhaps Goliath's continuous challenge for 40 days illustrates the fact that those who oppose God and his people don't give up. Consider the context. One might think that after all the defeats that were experienced by the enemies of God, that those remaining would simply give up, recognize the futility of it all. One would think that after the dramatic deliverance from Pharaoh in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the falling of the walls of Jericho, and the other numerous successes and victories that were given to God's people, that any remaining opposition, any remaining foes, such as Goliath, would put two and two together and simply figure it's time to walk away. But opposition to the people of God is a constant thing, because the hatred of the devil is a constant thing. He who prods all adversaries is tireless in his desire to do damage and destroy. Goliath ridiculed daily as to those who oppose the truth. Perhaps the 40 days, long days of Goliath's taunts are also there to illustrate the fact that God does not all that often counterattack instantaneously. There are those occasional events in Scripture where the Lord did respond on the spot to opposition. When Korah and his followers were indicted for their rejection of Moses' leadership, the earth split open on the spot and devoured them. Sapphira barely responded to Peter's inquiry when she fell dead at his feet. But generally, God's judgment is not so swift. He allowed Goliath to bellow for 40 days. And perhaps the reason the Lord waits is that he finds it desirable to present his people with a test. A test which King Saul and his armies failed miserably. We're told that when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The Lord provided the situation with Goliath to develop, thereby providing an opportunity for his children to stand up and show their confidence in him. But what happened? That which so often happens. The visible Goliath was viewed as being larger than the invisible God, and hearts cowered in weakness. Fortunately, there was one who rose to the challenge, who passed the test, and who displayed what it means to have faith in the Lord. David heard the taunts of the giant and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" For David, the situation was very easily analyzed. Goliath is opposing God. God is stronger than he. God is on my side. My course is clear. Had David looked to his own abilities and strength, he too would have cowered in the tents of Israel. But instead, he said with confidence, "The battle is the Lord's." So it is today. The opposition of the devil in the world continues every morning and every evening still. There are many Goliaths in the world at this time. Think about the multi-million member religious movements out there, which are bent on curtailing and destroying the message of Christ and Him crucified. Or think of the enormously powerful, well-funded, liberal media mechanisms that are in place today in America that are getting even bolder in their ridicule of the Bible and its teachings. They're giants. Who are we to oppose them? Who are we to oppose those who oppose the truth? We're nothing in ourselves. We, like David, are small compared to the forces that stand against us. But like David, we've been given faith in the true God. We have been told that He is the one who is omnipotent, the Almighty. We have been informed that He is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so we are given opportunities to show confidence and courage, the type that David showed. Even though the devil and demons are strong, they become weak when confronted with the Word of God which has been given to us to use. We too have been given a stone and a sling, the Word of God, which can bring those who oppose to their defeated knees. The Word of God, after all, is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yesterday we heard of another seemingly insignificant child of God who faced a different sort of Goliath. In his defense of the truth and determination to advance the saving gospel, Martin Luther stood up to the world power of his day, the papacy, and refused to recant when he was ordered to repudiate the doctrines of Scripture. Even as the Spirit empowered young David to place his trust in God and defend his honor, so did the Spirit empower Luther to stand up for the truth. As was also mentioned yesterday, this does not mean that the Lord at all times spares His witnesses of earthly harm and hardship. But when the Word of God is that which we believe and that to which we cling, then the ultimate victory is ours, regardless of temporary outcomes. Luther has been frequently quoted as saying, "A simple layman armed with Scripture is greater than the mightiest Pope without it." Yes, when Goliath taunted and jeered, one little stone felled him. In these days as well, the devil continues to prod his people, to mock God and the truth, but one little word can fell them, the enemies of the church still today, while bringing to light the light that gives life. Thy strong word, the opening words of hymn 775, the first and last stanzas, 775, first and last verses.
Thy strong word is
There's a memo here requesting Peru trip group meet under basket after chapel.
Everybody going?